Here to talk about Sinoir. Sinoir is dead, thank God. I know there are people like Jackson Hinkle and, of course, Rashida Tlaib, who's super sad about it. But I think the good news about this for Rashida Tlaib is that, like, this is a real, like, career advancement opportunity for her. She can now go to Gaza, and instead of just being a absolutely detested congresswoman in America for being a total and complete anti-American, she can go to Gaza and be the leader of her people, which will be awesome. Except for one thing, women have no rights in Gaza. There's that. So I guess that her career advancement opportunities are actually far more limited than previously assumed. Yes, in America and in Western society, we definitely have the most liberties and the best laws in the world and the most freedoms. So, for anybody who is busy glorifying Hamas and Hezbollah, it's time to wake up. Anybody who is saying that Sinwar was some sort of a hero or a freedom fighter, can we please think again? I'm assuming that if you really, honestly, and truly think that Sinwar was some sort of hero, let's talk a little bit. I'm just going to talk a little bit about who Sinwar was. Let's start off with the fact that he was known as the Butcher of Khan Yunis, okay? If you're not familiar with Khan Yunis, let me just make this clear. That is not a city in Israel. Okay, that is a city in Gaza. Why is he called the Butcher of Khan Yunis? It's because he slaughtered his own people. And here's something you do want to understand. Yahya Sinwar was in Israeli prison not for killing Jews, not for killing Israelis, but he was actually in jail for killing his own people. Now, why is this important? Not just because he kills his own people, there's that, but it also goes to show how much Israel goes out of its way to protect the people of Gaza in a way that Hamas doesn't. In fact, Hamas has no regard for its own people and no desire to save its own people. And in case you haven't heard, and I hope that you have by now, because it's been a long time, Sinwar was in Israeli captivity for butchering all these people. And while in Israeli captivity, he received care for brain cancer. Yes, the Israelis saved Sinwar's life by treating his brain cancer. Now, why was he let free? He was let free. He was released from jail in the really bad Gilad Shalit deal, where in Israel, who values life maybe a little too much sometimes, let go 1,027 Palestinian prisoners, many mass murderers, in exchange for one captive soldier. Gilad Shalit. It set a really dangerous precedent. But Sinwar was among the people who were released in that deal. Now, keep in mind, again, the Israelis literally saved Sinwar's life by treating him for brain cancer. When he was let go, released, how did he use that brain? He used that brain to be the mastermind of the 10/7 massacres. Okay, this guy is literally pure evil. He's pure evil. He is literally like the modern day Hitler. And he's a threat not just to Israel, I mean, he's not anymore, but he was to the whole free world. He was not just against the Jews. He was not just against Israel. He was against the free world. When Israel took him out, they did a favor to everybody, for everybody. Yes, Biden and Kamala Harris both made really nice statements thanking Israel for making the world a safer place, plus Nasrallah, plus Hania, plus Deif, plus all the people that Israel has been taking out in this fight for democracy, this fight in the war against terror. And it's so nice that Biden and Harris can suddenly say that they really support this mission, wherein let's keep in mind that when Harris studied the maps, she warned Israel not to go into Rafah. Now, what happened since Israel's gone into Rafah is they have found and saved hostages, and they have killed, among other leaders, Yahya Sinwar. Do you understand that Israel is fighting an existential fight, and they have to do what they need to do to protect themselves, not what America tells them they need to do? America is not in control of them. Okay, I'm gonna give you like a really, really basic lesson in warfare today. When I say basic, like, I've never been a soldier or in any sort of army or anything like that, okay? I'm gonna tell you stuff that you should not need an expert like John Spencer or Andrew Fox to tell you, but if you do need people like that to tell you this kind of stuff, you're in luck, because I do have episodes with both of those urban warfare experts, as well as Natasha Hausdorff, who is an expert in international law, who can explain more in detail what is going on and why Israel is doing exactly what it needs to do in order to defend itself from terror. Okay, let's start with just the basics. If you have, okay, I'm gonna make this super, super personal, okay? If you and your neighbor, okay, your neighbor comes over to your house and does something very, very terrible to someone in your family, okay? I'm gonna try not to say the evil words because YouTube does not like them. So use your imagination, or look at the videos that Hamas shot on 10/7, and you could pick the one that you like the most. For anybody who denies the atrocities that occurred on 10/7, let's keep in mind that Hamas doesn't deny them, and in fact, they shot them themselves and decided it would be a good idea to live stream them. So if any of those things occurred to your family, this is, let's just call it a crime against humanity. Okay, we're gonna make this super basic. So you have choices, right? You can either take matters into your own hands, which you actually can't, so I guess it's not a good analogy, or you go to the police. Now, what are the police gonna do? They are going to arrest this person, and they are going to put them in jail in a way that they will no longer be a menace to society, okay? You cannot live next to a maniac who wants to see you dead. End of story. Nobody wants to live like that. And I think that in America and in the West, we take for granted the fact that we are not surrounded by genocidal enemies who only exist literally to seek our destruction. And so when somebody commits a very bad crime, again, fill in the blank, they start the war, okay? It's because of them that they will have to stand up in a court of law, and they will have to be meted out the appropriate justice, okay? That's how the world works. Hamas started this war on 10/7. Israel responded in kind and had every right to do so. Hamas needs to be brought to justice. Now, here's what people don't seem to understand. This war could have ended on day one if Hamas surrendered and gave back the hostages. Keep in mind, they still have 101 hostages, all of whom represent a whole litany of war crimes being committed by Hamas. So what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do when your family is in terrorist captivity for over a year? You're just gonna sit there and say, stand down? You think it's your job to make the peace? So Israel has been 100% willing to have some ceasefire negotiations, but Hamas is not willing to give back the hostages, for example. As long as they hold on to those hostages and seek to hold on to power, they are a terrorist enemy, there will not be peace. Israel has finally decided that they cannot coexist with these enemies at their borders. They put up with it for so long. And keep in mind, after 10/7, on October 8th, with zero provocation, zero territorial disputes, Hezbollah decided that they wanted it on the fun. And they proceeded to shoot, over the last year, 9,000 missiles and rockets at Israel. Now, that might seem, for some weird reason, normal behavior. That's not normal behavior. Israel does not have to sit back and absorb 9,000 rockets from an enemy at its northern border and then be the one subject to the ceasefire. Here's the thing. In case you don't know it, Lebanon is supposedly a democratic state, right? They are a legitimate nation and they condone terror. They allow Hezbollah to not only operate within their borders, but on top of that, they also let them be in their government. Okay, this is a problem. Lebanon actually has its own military, but that doesn't really matter because the Hezbollah militia terrorists are the ones that are really ruling the country. You want a very, very simple solution? Lebanon can stand up like any other upstanding nation and outlaw terror. It's pretty simple. I mean, in America, theoretically, we've outlawed terror. Obviously, we're seeing that we haven't in practice. There's all these terrorist sympathizers all over our streets and all over our campuses. There's that. But technically, terror is still illegal in America and the Western world. If Lebanon wants peace with Israel, Israel will make peace with Lebanon. But first, they need to send Hezbollah out of the country. They need to say that we do not allow terror in our borders. Any upstanding nation should want that. This isn't like a really, really complex issue. Okay, there are things that are legal in the world and things that aren't. There is nothing about terrorism that should be condoned by good people or by democracies. Hard stop. Now, for everybody who is so obsessed with the numbers, I do recommend that you look at the Andrew Fox episode that I did so you can understand what proportionality actually means. But let me just say, in World War II, there were millions, probably tens of millions more people who lived within the borders of the Axis of Evil who died versus the Allied forces and their nations. So, does that mean that the Allies were wrong? Or does it mean that that is the amount of force that was required to accomplish what it needed to accomplish, which was the destruction of Hitler, the Third Reich, and the Nazi state? Okay? Proportionality does not mean that X number die on one side and therefore X number need to die on the other side. That's not how it works. I know that people are very confused because of the way that the media is portraying this, but maybe step back and think, when's the last time you saw the media portraying a blow-by-blow count of civilian casualties, or even showing every day videos from just one side, or taking the words of terrorists over those of a democratic nation, okay? All of these are issues that need to be contended with, okay? Israel right now has taken out one by one the terrorist infrastructure and leadership that will allow, hopefully, it to live in peace. The Abraham Accords have been all about Israel trying to create, instead of a bridge of terror or a quote-unquote ring of fire that Iran is building, Israel is doing everything it can to build a bridge of peace. Okay, by aligning with moderate Arab states and, quite frankly, with anyone who's willing to make peace with Israel. The vilification of the Jewish state is double standards that are based simply on Jew hatred. Period. Double standards are anti-Semitic. It's the end of the story. And when Sinwar was taken out yesterday, Israel delivered a gift to the world. It's time for everyone to think.